This episode is brought to you by CBS All Access. If you don't already subscribe to CBS All Access, please use our affiliate link by going to talkthroughmedia.com/CBS. Using our affiliate link gives us a little credit, which helps us to keep bringing you great content. U.S. residents only.
Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this afternoon, we will be covering our second short trek. We're a little late in bringing it to you, but thankfully, our technical difficulties with the Book of Face have been resolved. So we'll record today. Actually, a couple of short treks, but the first one, this episode that you're hearing now, is for the second short trek of season two, titled The Trouble with Edward. But before we get started with that, we did get some feedback from last week, or I should say our last episode, which was for the first short trek this season, titled Q&A. So let's open Hailing Frequencies. And begin with Rick from Cleveland. Ruthie, you want to read that one?
Okay. Rick says, a little feedback on Q&A, which I loved. 9.5 out of 10 modern major generals. The half point deduction. And my kids noticed this too. Spock's right eyebrow for the first half of the turbo lift sequence just had a mind of its own. They must have redone makeup or shot on a different day for the after number one got zapped part of it because it was fixed later. But it was downright distracting. Other than that, I loved it. Man, I need a Pike's Enterprise show, especially with the dynamic between number one and Spock. The not quite sexual tension and finishing each other's sentences after just having met. I need more!
So I'm curious now, because I didn't notice this, the right eyebrow having a mind of its own. What does that mean exactly? Was it like forming its own sentences? What was it doing exactly?
I have no idea. I don't know what he's talking about either.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look. But I am curious now. We also got something from James, the Augmented Sailor. He says, just had a listen, guys. Brian, you're right about naval officer rank structure. Ensign, lieutenant, junior grade, lieutenant, etc. As far as advancement goes, officers advance as openings become available, and senior officers select who advances. So a lot of it depends on service record. And, of course, networking. Because of this, advancement for an officer can vary widely. An officer like Spock is what we would call not only squared away, but poof, hot. As we would say in the Navy, and he didn't say poop. So as long as billets, allotted positions for the rank, are available, he would advance with quickness. Junior officers, or JOs, like ensigns, to lieutenants tend to advance quickly to start with because, of course, there would be many more billets available for them. It's not a stretch to say Spock could have made lieutenant within a year or two. Another little tidbit, a line officer in the Navy can and usually does cross departments as a division officer too. So you can even rationalize Spock wearing gold in where no man has gone before, as he was in charge of a division in the command department. Winky smiley face. An example of this is Worf going from operations on Enterprise to command on DS9. And that's our naval lesson of the day.
Thank you.
Yeah. Brian, I just wanted to say that I missed you both since LT from NC only missed Ruthie. LOL. And I explained on the message thread that LT listens to me on the Walking Dead talkthrough, so he doesn't miss me as much, whereas he only gets Ruthie on this, well, this and now the Star Trek Picard cast. So,
yeah, I just have one thing to say about that. Sucking up. Excuse me.
Yeah, kind of. That won't get you a promotion.
There's nothing wrong with sucking up, just so you know.
Yes.
But we call it like it is here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny if talking about sucking up with, since the last time we recorded, both of us are in new jobs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yay us.
I was just about to start my new job, and you were interviewing for a job, and shortly after recording, you got it. So, anyway, yeah. good for her, and of course, I'll say...
In any case, we have had upheaval and change in our life, but it has been for the better. At least I can definitely for 100% say in my case, definitely for the better. I cannot express my delight at not being at my former job anymore. My former dead-end job, I should say.
Yeah.
So if anyone from my former job is listening, now you know why I left, because it was dead-end and you guys didn't appreciate me. I don't want to go on anymore about that because I could go on forever and I don't want to get started. That chapter of my life is over and that's all we need to know.
And of course,
what is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Shut up, Blaine. Anyway, we've also had other things going on with the podcast and so forth and things happening and Facebook is giving us fits. So.
Yes. Stuff. Although, finally, life. Facebook, and we are back on speaking terms.
Yeah, so. That's right. Facebook and I are no longer on a break.
He finishes to say, anyways, I'm getting long-winded. Oh, gee. On our podcast is that, well, some people like it, some people don't. But I'm getting long-winded, so I'll jump off here and wait to hear you guys on the next cast. Well, thank you so much, James.
I really appreciate all of your naval insights. I really do.
So do I.
Because I have no experience with that whatsoever. So I'm always curious about why things are a certain way. And here you are, always in a pinch to explain it to me. Thank you. I appreciate your knowledge.
All right. Let's get into this short track titled The Trouble with Edward. Written by Graham Wagner, and he is known for being a writer on a few different comedy things, Silicon Valley, most recently, Baskets, and Portlandia. And he's also written for Mulaney. Probably the most famous one of this bunch is The Office, and The Life and Times of Tim, which I've not heard of. At all. I think the rest of them I've heard of. Of course, Silicon Valley, I think, is it ending this season?
I don't know. I've heard of Silicon Valley, Portlandia, and The Office. The rest of them, the other three. So I've heard of half of that stuff. Mm. I have no idea what that other stuff is.
Yeah, Baskets is the one with Louis Anderson, I know. I don't think Mulaney was on very long.
Still nothing.
Yeah, okay. It's where Louis Anderson is playing an old grandmother or something. Anyway, but I've not seen it.
Yes. Still not ringing any bells.
Yeah. Directed by Daniel Gray Longino. And he's got credits with something called Pen 15. And if you capitalize that, that's how it's written. But, you know, I think 1-5 is replaces IS, so you do the math.
Oh, interesting.
Who is America? AP Bio and Alone Together. And Pen 15, I've only vaguely heard of, but the rest of them I have not. So
I've heard of AP Bio.
Okay.
But nothing else.
The description from CBS.com is as follows. Newly minted Captain Lynn Lucero, Rosa Salazar, is excited to take command of the USS Cabot until she meets Edward Larkin, H. John Benjamin, an ornery scientist, that's a good word for him, who believes he has found a revolutionary new use for tribbles. It is TVPG, and it aired October 10th, 2019. Okay, so.
Probably PG, because that time he ran around in his underwear, and the fact that he died.
Yes. Okay.
Died from his own stupidity or hubris. Anyway.
And he's not dumb.
He is not dumb, but he is an idiot.
All right.
I always wonder about why something gets a certain rating, you know? It makes me curious sometimes. I'm like, why did it have that rating? Or why does it get TVMA? Or why does it get whatever, yeah, 14 or something? You know, I'm just curious about the things that make them grant these ratings that sometimes seem arbitrary.
I think if they show like killing, or if it has like swear words or something like that, then it gets a higher rating. But
nudity definitely gets a higher rating.
Yes. Like I noticed recently the Mandalorian episode was rated PG and it had killing all over the place, but it didn't actually show any of it like on screen.
It can't be too high because Baby Yoda is so cute. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I die all the time. Just cuteness overload. I'm like, I can't handle the cute. It's too cute. Yeah.
I thought about covering that for our Patreon. I don't know. Is that a possibility? We're not committing to it. But
we commit to nothing.
Yes. All right. So, Ruthie, what would you give The Trouble with Edward?
I'd definitely give this episode a 10 because it was a 10 in my book. It was so good. I mean, it was awesome. It combined my favorite things, Star Trek, humor, you know, a few of my favorite things anyway. I love things that are funny and genuinely funny, not like I don't know. Well, sometimes I like slapstick. slapstick. But I don't know. It's hard to describe humor. It's very subjective, but this just really did it for me, you know?
Well, like last episode, there is the regular me,
and then there's the nitpicking me.
And you're going to hear from both sides of me today. So the regular me would also give this a 10, and I'd say 10 tickling cereals.
It tickles.
Yes.
But the nitpicking me would give it more like a 4. Why did this get made?
Kind of thing. So,
and the regular me is going to slap nitpicking you upside your head.
Yes. But thankfully, nitpicking Brian is the recessive me. So I'm going to give it an overall 9 crazy plots. So, all right. So listener ratings.
Beat the nitpicking you into submission.
This is one of those episodes, though, I have to acknowledge that part of me, both for me and for the haters, because there's stuff to hate in this episode. I hate to say, but most of me seems to tolerate it. All right, so we have listener ratings.
James the Augmented Sailor says, The Trouble with Archer, Edward, is 9. You called me dumbs.
Oh, I was thinking Archer like Enterprise, but that's because H. John Benjamin plays Archer. So that's a different Archer, not the Star Trek Archer. Rick from Cleveland says, I rate this short trek 9.5 out of 10 post-credit scenes. That's right, friends. If you stop watching partway through the credits, you missed a gem at the end. Yes, you did.
Agreed. It's definitely a gem. LT from NC says, I'm giving it a qualified 7.8 out of 10, made of meats. And if this isn't as funny as the original feedback, blame the social media giant that ate them.
Yes, well, thankfully we recovered all the stuff that was originally given to us.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go through our yeses.
Yes!
James, the augmented sailor, says, I've never laughed so much at Star Trek. H. John Benjamin is great. Going outside of anything we've ever seen on Star Trek, but still keeping it Star Trek. This is only going to attract new fans. All right. I believe that's all we got particularly classified as yes. I think largely because on the short treks, they're smaller, so
yeah.
Stuff doesn't get like separated as much.
Right. It's harder to, I mean, it's like basically one segment of a normal show, like in between commercials or whatever.
Right. All right. What did you have for yeses?
I just loved the commercial at the end. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a commercial? A Tribbles something or other commercial?
Originally?
I swear. I don't know, man.
Mm.
It looked like, I mean, they definitely did an excellent job of making it look like something that would have been in existence, but it's, you can tell it was not a previous commercial because the uniforms are updated with the new uniforms that they have. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Was probably the only thing that I had that was specifically yes, other than the fact that I really liked this episode. I think this is my favorite short trek to date.
Cool. I had a couple of things right off the start. The beauty shot of the Enterprise and the Cabot. Love seeing that. And of course, Pike. And if I would criticize it, it was that there wasn't enough Pike, but that's okay. And the discussion, I kept on expecting her to say, zip it. When she would say this conversation is over, reminded me of that. Like it was something almost from Seinfeld or a show like that. I thought that the comedic parts of it were really good, but yeah, it was pretty funny. And you know, something else, like them taking that big shop vac out there to try to suck out the Tribbles.
That was hilarious.
That was also hilarious.
Oh my gosh. So many elements of this episode were hilarious.
I would also say the commercial at the end was hysterical. The overall episode was hysterical too. I mean, it's probably definitely the funniest of the bunch. And you know, that says a lot. Compared to the escape artist last season with Harry Mudd.
Mm-hmm.
But like for overall laugh a minute kind of stuff, this was definitely, you know, in there. There was a trill on the Cabot, which I was surprised about. I don't know if this is the first like African-American style. I don't know what to say. Obviously not African-American trill, so, but...
Yeah, I don't think that she's American.
No.
This is the problem with this politically correct label.
Yes.
Not all people who came out of Africa are African-American. So, to me and a lot of people, it's less awkward to just say black.
Well, yes, and you wouldn't use that description for Tuvok either.
You wouldn't. Yeah. But, I mean, you could say a black-skinned trill because that is a descriptive term and it's not a negative descriptive term.
Yeah.
It's not negative in my opinion. I don't find anything wrong with saying something is the color that it is.
Racially diverse trills.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, of course, we have seen racially diverse trills in the past because we Our very first trill looked nothing. Actually, the first two trills that we see look nothing like the trills that go past that. Because I think it was in The Host from TNG, the one where Crusher fell in love with a trill. Uh-huh. That trill and the trill that replaced him looked nothing like Jadzia or Ezri Dax, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay.
It's just part of finding your way.
Also, I guess I would say just the overall acting in this one was really good. I didn't know that Rosa Salazar had a comedic side. Well, I don't really know her. Like, I know she was in, was it Akira, I think?
I don't know.
She played that character that had the really big eyes. So we didn't actually see her on screen. And I've not seen that.
What are you talking about?
She played like the title character in, I think it's Akira Battle Angel.
Oh, Alita?
Alita. That's, sorry. Alita? Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Yes, you're right.
I know.
I have to say. Anyway, so yes, Alita Battle Angel. But anyway.
Now that you say that, though, yeah, it does look like her. I realize.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, and she is in a new Amazon series with actually that one, I can't remember the name of it, but it's recent. And it's in Rotoscope.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. But she's in that with Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Interesting.
It looks interesting, that series, but there it is. It's called Undone on Amazon. She's good in the role, and H. John Benjamin is great in the role.
Yeah.
So, you know, overall, I think it was quite hysterical, and I think it did a really good job of showing, in a lot of ways, what the animated, like the Lower Decks, might be. You know, because
could be.
Yeah. So I'm from the things that I've heard about it since like San Diego Comic-Con, I'm a lot more up for that show than I originally was. I wasn't really sure what we were going to see, but I think it looks like it's going to be really good. All right. So let's go on to the no's.
No!
So do you have any no's? Listener knows we have one no, and that's from James the Augmented Sailor, and he says purists will hate it. Supposedly Roddenberry didn't have a sense of humor, and comedy has no place in Trek. Okay, this isn't a no because they're going to hate it no matter what.
True enough.
And to that end, we're going to now hear from me. That's Nitpicking Brian, because Nitpicking Brian has a few things to say. Okay, so, Captain Lucero, she wasn't a very good captain. Look how she treats Larkin versus Picard's treatment of Barclay.
And I'm going to wrestle the microphone from Nitpicking me to say, Barclay, seriously? Barclay has quirks, but he didn't do anything like what Larkin did in this episode, so shut up, Nick. Picking Brian.
I would have to agree with Normal Brian on that one. I mean, they're similar in spirit, but I'm not quite sure that Barclay ever disobeyed a direct order.
Exactly. Exactly. And or sent stuff to Starfleet Command and said that, like, Picard, or for that matter, LaForge, is dumb.
Yeah. And I don't really think you could say that she's not a very good captain. I think you could say that she's not a very experienced captain.
True. True.
But again, I'm not quite sure she was expecting to have this. She's right. How did this guy ever get through Starfleet?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's fair to say that this is entirely, I don't know. I'm like, she probably never expected to have to deal with something like this.
Larkin, he's not exactly Starfleet material. I mean, come on. How did he get on this ship or any ship?
Okay. I can't disagree with that one, nitpicking me.
He should definitely not have been on the ship, but I don't think that's her fault.
No, but seriously, she's condescending, she's playing favorites, and what's with her assigning him to climate control? That has nothing to do with protein or even biology. Okay.
I don't think she's condescending either. I'm not quite sure how you deal with the person who, when you give them a direct order and say, we're done talking about it, they continue to behave in the manner that he did. I don't think that she's condescending, though, at all, personally.
That said, I do agree with that nitpicking side of me on part of this, because I think assigning him to climate control is just going to piss him off. And even someone who doesn't have the reputation or whatever, and maybe you can assume that she didn't really know much about him when she did that, but like something so drastically different from his specialty, I think was kind of condescending. It definitely was inexperienced. And I think that was kind of not very forward thinking of her to do that. I mean, yes, he definitely did need to be reeled in, but I don't think.
Yeah, but come on. How much? I mean, we have no idea. I mean, I feel like this is way too in depth for this. That was just really meant to be silly. We have no idea what kind of personnel issues she was dealing with or anything else outside of the scope of the 15 minutes that we see on the little tiny splice of this thing. We have no idea what was more important. We have no idea. Mm. Maybe climate was more important. Maybe there was a need there that, as she said, we're all scientists. We can learn that they can fill. How is she supposed to know that this is going to piss him off and that he's going to react thusly?
Mm.
Honestly, I mean, give the girl a break. She had no idea that telling him to abandon his tribble project was going to result in basically what amounted to an invasive, uncontrollable species that takes over. And it's basically like the kind of, I mean, if you're in a garden and you have this kind of plant crop up, you kill it, kill it, kill it. And he, I mean, I don't know. I think that's putting way too much, way overanalyzing an episode that is not meant to be overanalyzed that much. Like I said, we have no idea what was going on in the background of this, and I don't feel like that was being condescending at all. She was using her people and placing them where she thought that they needed to be, and she did not want this line of exploration to continue, so she put an end to it and said, redirect here. Yeah, it wasn't his specialty, but if there is no other biology area that he can, you know, that his specialty can go in, what is he supposed to do? Sit on his butt? No, she needs to allocate her resources as she sees fit. That's what a captain does. So she did that. So he got butt hurt over it and created an invasive species that took over the ship and blew it up. I don't think that's her fault.
And started a diplomatic issue with the Klingons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the point that you brought up about her inexperience, I think, is definitely worth noting here, and that's probably more to blame than anything. Like, what she probably should have done was ended the discussion about the tribbles and then had an aside with him after the meeting to just say why it wasn't appropriate and see if it could be redirected or get him more excited about like a different specialty. But
we don't know that that didn't happen just because we didn't see it in this 15-minute episode that was really just supposed to be lighthearted and funny does not mean it did not happen. I'm just saying this is way overanalyzing. It was supposed to be funny. We can't say that all of those things didn't happen. We can say that he probably wouldn't have reacted any better had she done that.
Well, I would say,
if I were not a consummate professional and an android, I would find this entire procedure insulting.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. That's a little sneak peek of new sound effects that you will hear on the Picard.
So. Oh man. I'm just saying, I'm going to defend this episode with my dying breath because I thought it was hilarious.
All right.
And I would like more of it. And I do not want you to besmirch this any further.
No.
With your negative nitpicky.
Okay. So to explain, I want to explain myself just for a bit. So okay, what I want, yeah. So what I want to try to do is see, like, I keep hearing a lot of the negative Nellies out there besmirching Discovery a lot of times unfairly for things that I think are either inaccurate or are not in the spirit of things. And what I want to do sometimes is highlight those things, give them a podium to speak, and then we can acknowledge, because what I don't want to do is to say we're looking at this with rose-colored glasses or that we're looking at it and we think everything is amazing. And that is not what we do on this podcast. So I think exposing everything for what it is, I think, is a good thing. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do for this one, because there are some things that I think some people would not like at all. And I think some of it, or at least a little bit of it, has merit. But I think you have to take the spirit of it. And like, I think that it's in canon, but maybe just the tone is off. And well, let's face it. I mean, not every officer in Starfleet is going to be a gem. You know, they're not all going to be officers on Discovery or the Enterprise. You know, there are going to be some not so great people, and it.
So there will be personnel issues, right?
Right. So you will get people like Larkin who are not doing so well. And I think it's okay to show those things. But yeah, this guy was just out there. He was insane. And the things that he ended up doing in this episode were insane. And so he proved himself by doing, like, literally disobeying a direct order and putting the whole ship in jeopardy and ended up causing his life, you know, losing his life over it. You know, so I don't think that those things should be discounted. I think he was a bad officer. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I feel like this was kind of maybe a...
And he really wanted to eat those tribbles.
I know, he really did.
Yeah.
And she, well, you know, he was not able to answer whether or not they were intelligent. And so that kind of, to me, or to her, in my opinion, was a red flag, because she's like, I don't know if we can, move forward with this. If we can't tell that they're intelligent, we're basically violating the Prime Directive, more or less, kind of, you know, we're not going to start eating intelligent creatures just because, anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like this was, I mean, all I could think of is to say is, and it's an exaggeration of, I don't know. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of, but it's like an exaggerated example of a bad officer kind of, you know, I'm like, not every officer is going to do, not every bad officer is going to do this.
Right.
Not every officer is going to be an outstanding, you know, spectacular representation of Starfleet, but yeah, so I think it was kind of an exaggeration sort of to prove a point sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think what James said was right. Purists are going to hate it. But you know what? Haters are going to hate no matter what. So there's not really anything we can do to change their minds. And I don't really, I mean, while I feel like, yes, you're correct, we are not going to be overly praiseworthy. We're going to critique when we feel it's necessary. I also don't want to give too much time or weight to the people who hate just because they want to, because it's not, it's not the original series or it's not TNG or what have you, you know, any given enter your particular phrase here. Thing that it's not. It just, I'm sorry, it's not what you wanted. I can't change that. Right. So don't spend so much time on things you hate. I don't know.
And to that end, let's move on to Hold Your Horses.
Hello, this is Captain Tilly. What the heck? Hell? What the hell? Hold your horses.
Always gold.
Oh, Tilly.
Yeah, we could have used a Short Trek with Tilly this time around. But I think we're basically done with Discovery cast on the Short Treks for this season. Like after, you know, we'll also be talking about Asnot next, but like the next two that are in December are animated. And then the last one is Picard oriented. So, yeah. All right, so James, the augmented sailor, has a couple. He says, skivvies are still a thing in the 23rd. Oh man, Starfleet tailors are sadistic.
Oh, of course, this is referencing when he was running down the hall in his underwear.
Yeah. I noticed that he had the same red kind of underwear that Stamets and Culber had in Discovery when we see them like brushing their teeth.
Red? They season... were white.
No, they were no.
Tighties.
There's the one scene, I think it was in Choose Your Pain. It was right after Stamets had first injected himself with the tardigrade DNA. And we see him in the mirror, and then we see kind of like a mirror image linger on him. They're wearing like this, like red or burgundy color or crimson. I don't know. Well, you're the crimson person, so you but anyway, like pajamas or whatever, we see them brushing their teeth with that same color thing on. So,
so you're talking about the top, not the underwear?
Yeah, the top. Yeah. Naval reference, he says.
Tidy whities.
Okay. Yeah. Naval reference, my own with skivvies. This is what we call boot camp issue, whitey tighty underwear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tighty whities. That's awesome. Boot camp issued, huh? That's nice. Oh, goodness.
Our own Hold Your Horses. I just had phasers on stun on here. Like, what would the stun do? I guess she didn't want to vaporize them.
Yeah, well, you know, she's still dealing with, are these sentient creatures? So,
yeah, true.
Trying to humanely dispose of them. Until she can figure out, you know, I mean, she's basically being over. I don't think at this point in time in the episode, the phasers on stun episode, or part of the episode, that she realizes that he has inserted his own DNA into the,
yeah,
into the tribbles, which is highly unethical.
Yes.
Not only did she tell him direct order, drop it. He then proceeds to not drop it with this highly unethical experiment, basically. And his response, not like so-and-so's DNA would be any better. What? I don't think you understand what we're upset about. The fact that you introduced human DNA to the dribbles in the first place. Not that it was your DNA, dumbass.
Yeah, now with Edward DNA, by the way, another thing that I should have said in the yeses were the disclaimers on the commercial. They were...
Maybe a choking hazard.
Yeah.
And this cereal has more DNA than any other cereal. More human DNA than any other cereal. Those are the building blocks of life. Oh my gosh.
And something about not responsible for them growing in your digestive tract or something. And then there was the add-on that came with something to shave them down.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Oh, good times.
Yeah. Let's move on to our feedback section and open hailing frequencies. Okay, so our first one is a voicemail from Fred from the Netherlands.
Hello, Brian and Ruthie. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Short Trek number 6 or season 2, episode 2, The Trouble with Edward. A very nice and funny episode, much better episode than the first one. Love to see so many tribbles back. And as a geneticist, it's fun to know that the fast-breeding tribbles are actually partly human. Now I know why the Klingons dislike them. I also liked how this Edward is thinking in a complete different way than the other scientists, having some, I think, autistic features. One of my sons has autism, so I did recognize some reactions. Very funny is, of course, that there was a food problem on this planet, and Pike says to this female commander that she will resolve it. And actually, Edward comes with a solution. So I'm a protein scientist, and these are proteins. And if you have any ethical problems, I just can genetically modify them that they will be mentally retarded. And so then that is not a problem anymore. Well, that's a way to solve your ethical problems. But okay, not good, of course, but still. I think they found a nice way here to show his way of thinking. Especially the end of conversation discussion is so recognizable. Actually, for me, that's more recognizable towards my other son. So the one that's not autistic. He is so stubborn. He always wants to have the last word. So it was nice. One last thing I want to say is...
This conversation's over. You're dismissed.
Right.
This is the end of the conversation.
Captain, if I could...
You can't.
Right, but I had this...
The conversation's over. That's the end.
Well, technically, the conversation is not over because I can keep talking and then the conversation is continuing.
I don't know how you made it this far in your career behaving like this.
You think I'm dumb?
This is why I ended the conversation. I'm having you transferred. End of conversation.
It would be rude and irresponsible to end the conversation.
The conversation's over.
Remember, earlier I said...
Fred, shut up. Oh my God.
That was hysterical.
Oh, Fred, that was amazing.
Funny. Yep. Never disappoints. That's true. Some people do require the last word, but... Until you're the captain, I don't think that you can always get the last word.
Well, first of all, I have to say, thank you so much, Fred, for an amazing piece of feedback. And thank you so much for everything you do for us. Yeah, so that last part of it, and I have to admit, that's the first time that I got to listen to this. So I was going into it kind of blind. I listened to your other one, but I didn't listen to this one for some reason. But that was amazing. I'm glad we didn't talk too much about the conversation is over at where I didn't pull a clip. So he pulled the clip for me, sort of. I like your thing about now I know why the Klingons dislike them. Yeah, I had put two and two together on that, but
yeah,
if like some have argued that there are two separate Tribal species, like there's the ones that we saw in The Trouble with Tribbles, and to that end, maybe they didn't reproduce as fast as Larkin wanted them, but it's also suggested that there could be a rapidly producing, because I mean, even on in the original episode from the original series, they didn't reproduce this fast. You know, because I mean, they're basically, we see them like fill up the mess hall in seemingly like a minute or two.
Well, just to be on the flip side, no one had ever really experienced this before this, so
true.
Maybe they just didn't know how to deal with it yet. And again, they're not really sure how, what kind of force, I guess, to use. You know, they're still, like I said, still uncertain about whether or not this is a sentient species that we need to take care to deal with that have been maybe grossly mistreated by Edward. So it seems like if this had never been a thing before and suddenly you have to deal with it, that it's not out of the realm of possibility that it could get out of hand just that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you had never had any kind of, like, if you had never seen a bamboo shoot grow before and didn't know how fast bamboo would grow, and you thought, oh, I'll just leave this here and it'll be fine, and then suddenly it's taking over your house, you know, I mean,
how fast does bamboo grow?
It grows like, I don't know, a couple, I don't know. I hesitate to venture a guess, but it grows really, really fast.
Mm.
Like faster than a normal plant.
Mm. The autistic features he mentioned, I kind of thought of that myself. So particularly, he seemed to be pretty socially inept and unable to pick up on social cues, I think. But just having tone deaf, you know, being tone deaf on certain things like, mm-hmm. like the ethics, you know, suggesting that he make them brain damaged.
Yeah. So yeah, we won't have to worry about whether or not they're sentient or whatever.
Yeah.
So obviously it would not occur to him that perhaps introducing his own DNA into this species might be an issue.
Yeah. I would like to see how he did in his Starfleet.
Kobayashi Maru.
Well, any kind of ethical training, because I imagine he didn't do well on the ethics courses. And if he did, it was a fluke.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so bamboo, certain species of bamboo can grow 36 inches within a 24-hour period.
Oh, wow.
That's a rate of almost an inch and a half an hour. Or a little over an inch and a half, 1.6 inches an hour, 44 millimeters. So 36 inches in a 24-hour period. That is a foot and a half, basically. No, wait, that's 3 feet. Sorry, my math is not math today. 3 feet in an hour, or 3 feet in a day. So
that's still quite quick, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like being born pregnant, but still, it's comparable, I think. If you had no idea that bamboo would grow so fast, you wouldn't necessarily take action at the time.
Yeah. And stubbornness, that particularly was a thing. He definitely was stubborn, but anyway, really great feedback, Fred. Thank you so much for it. All right. Our next is Rick from Cleveland.
All right, Rick says, I loved this short trek. It was just fun. It's rare for my kids to hang around when I put Star Trek on TV, but they hung around. They laughed and loved it. Not only did they love it, but my 12-year-old, after seeing the post-credits scenes, says, do you have any other funny ones? I showed her Q&A, which I thought was tons of fun, but kind of requires you to get those two characters. So she says, how about one with Tribbles? She sat through every minute of The Trouble with Tribbles, 1967 effects and all, and enjoyed it. At the end, she gave me feedback on it. Dad, I rate this one 10 points lower than the new one. Why? I ask. There was no scene after the credits. I'm still laughing over that. As much as I enjoy Discovery, the first season was not something I could share with my kids. The second season, sure, much more family friendly. But this short trek, I got to see my youngest watch this with the same joy I did back in 1970-something. Now, setting that aside, I dock it half a point because realistically, Edward never would have made it through the Academy. The captain is right. He was an idiot. Side note, I actually had not watched a TOS episode on CBS All Access before. I catch them on H&I from time to time. I gotta say, the remastered effects in HD do not work for me. They are like cheap CGI. I'd take the old models shot any day. It was at least consistent with the rest of the show. Interesting.
Mm.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree also that Edward should never have made it onto a Starfleet ship, but that was sort of the whole impetus of that particular show. So I had to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, I said about him being a Starfleet officer, but I mean, technically, I don't know if that was that established that he was a lieutenant? I don't know if it was. So it's possible that he never went through the academy. I don't know. He could have been like a Chief O'Brien, but for protein.
So I feel like in order to be a scientist in the manner that he was, I mean, based on the way that officers are created now, either through directly through a naval academy or some other type of ROTC, you have to have some kind of college education to be an officer. So you're not really an officer, or you're not really college educated and not an officer. And in order to be the kind of scientist that he was, I'm sure that he's college educated at the very least. Whether or not he went through the academy or not, he's definitely educated in some manner of secondary or post-secondary education, whatever.
Right.
Some type of manner, however they educate their people in the future. I don't know if it's still, you know, college education, blah, 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 master's program, doctoral, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But based on that, there's no way he's not an officer. But
I would agree with that.
As we've said before, there's no way this guy is an officer.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, and plus Larkin is not a young guy. And I don't know what the age of H. John Benjamin is, but
he's not fresh faced.
He's definitely not, like we said in the Picard episode, we are not spring chickens.
Yeah. Maybe the previous captain just knew how to deal with him and had become accustomed to his quirks. But that captain was retiring, and so...
True.
You know, now he has to deal with a new person that he does not have the tolerance or the patience to do. And therefore, this bad thing happened, and it was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, and I looked him up. I was thinking he was around my age, and I was correct. He would have been the same school year as me. He's 53, so I'll be turning that age soon. So, not born in the same year, but he was May of 66. Anyway.
Very good.
So, obviously, he's a guy that unless he joined Starfleet later in life, I mean, he's been around. So, he's... it's funny that he would have been, you know, gotten as far as he had, assuming, you know, he went to the academy at a young age. He's been in Starfleet for, you know, 25, 30 years. So,
or maybe he was commissioned well after the fact.
Maybe, but
he didn't actually go through the academy. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
I would
just say that he probably had his previous captain knew how to deal with him.
Probably, which you would think if there was an issue with him that he would have left notes for her or something.
Maybe, but maybe he's the reason that the previous captain is retiring.
That's true.
I'm tired of dealing with this guy.
And maybe said, you know, I'm not going to say anything about this guy because that'll just scare people away. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But anyway, I remember, it may have been you, Rick. I know that we have some of that long form feedback where people were talking about how Discovery wasn't a show that they could share with their kids. So especially that first season, I would agree with that. You know, like the Klingon breastises and the F-bomb, that's more of a PG-13 kind of thing, I guess, but...
It's definitely TVMA.
Well, I guess that's true. But, you're right.
Not TVPG.
You're right.
That's MA.
You're right. But it's worth saying that, because, I mean, even The Walking Dead doesn't use the F-bomb though they could, they don't.
They don't? Oh, I was going to say, they are also bound by FCC regulations. I'm not sure streaming is.
Well, it's broadcast that is. Cable isn't, but they still kind of follow that to an extent. Like, I think it's like self-regulated. That's why you occasionally see, like on Better Call Saul, for example, they'll occasionally, and on Preacher, they'll occasionally use an F-bomb. But, and those are both on AMC, but Walking Dead doesn't do it.
All the time on Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
They are not shy.
Yeah. That's a show that I got to get caught up on. Yeah.
I'm clutching my pearls right now.
All right.
It's been a little bit slower this season, but still, the last couple of episodes that I've watched have been pretty outstanding.
Hmm. Anyway, yeah, about the special effects, I've had a similar reaction to it. I mean, I've definitely noticed them when they've done it, and they haven't changed all the shots, I noticed as well. But I wouldn't say it's off-putting, but it is something that I will notice when I watch. It is kind of a different thing, but then again, some of the things that they did that were a little less obvious special effects, like I think one of the androids, they replaced the circuitry of the android with something a little more up to date versus like transistors and things like that. I think that was a good thing to do. But, you know, when they drastically change the look of something, I don't think that's a good thing to do.
Well, when it doesn't mesh with the rest of it, as he says here, it's at least consistent with the rest of the show, then that can be jarring and take you out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of sink yourself into the 60s effect to where it doesn't really stand out that much anymore after you've been watching it for a while, I guess. You know, it's like Shakespeare. Once you've been listening to it enough, you kind of get used to the rhythm of the language and you can understand it without really having to think about it really hard. I feel like this is kind of the same thing when you're talking about like old sci-fi effects, like practical effects and such things like that. So I get what you're saying. I'd rather it be consistent because I can lose myself in it rather than being jarred out of it with this glaring difference.
Yeah, I agree. But then again, you know, like some of the stuff that I've seen updated for Next Generation, and for that matter, the special effects that were kind of remastered for the Deep Space Nine documentary, which, by the way, have you seen that yet?
Not yet.
All right. So next is from James, the Augmented Sailor. I'll take this one. He says, this episode boldly went where no Trek has gone before and paved the way for Lower Decks with flying colors. Casting H. John Benjamin was perfect. His portrayal was reminiscent of Dwight Schultz as Barkley with his social awkwardness. But I would say Barkley never had the ethics issues. Where I compared Reno to Miles, I compare Edward to Barclay. These characters don't have the filters their predecessors did, and it's so refreshing. I just feel sorry for Captain Lucero. Her career is over.
And I have to say, I don't think her career is over. She is totally going to blame everything on Edward and probably be okay.
Yeah, I wonder if it might be a while before she gets a command chance again.
No doubt about that, but I don't think her career is over.
Yeah, and I'm not sure like what rank she was on the Enterprise before she moved over. So, because, you know, it's possible that she jumped a couple of command, because considering it's a lowly ship, it's not like a big ship, it's a lowly science vessel.
Flagship.
Right. You know, she could have gone, say, from a lieutenant and skip lieutenant commander and go right to captain, for that matter.
Maybe.
They also say that the captain is sort of like it's like how, like, when Saru is commanding the vessel, he's a captain, even though he's
anytime
a commander.
Anytime you're the head of the ship, you're the captain, whether or not your rank is captain. Is that what you're trying to say?
Right. So, you know, she may have not been a captain in rank, even though she was referred to as a captain. So I don't know. I didn't notice. I want to say that she had the rings on her sleeves that would suggest that she was a captain. But still, even though if that was the case, she may have not been a commander before. So I think there is precedence there. And James, I'm looking to you to respond to that.
That's right. James, you'll let us know.
I'll take the next one as well. And was this one a recovered piece of feedback, or was this reposted?
DeMarcus Terry and Arend, I don't know how you say that name, are all three from the first link that we posted, the first feedback thing that we posted. I went back, got them all.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because those pieces of feedback, like when we had our little snafu with Facebook, though, that post, that whole episode thread disappeared from Facebook.
Right. And it happened when we were about to record this episode. So that's another reason why we haven't recorded it for so long, because we were kind of sort of waiting, hoping.
Yeah.
Plus life and et cetera.
Yes. DeMarcus from Facebook says, that was hilarious. I loved it. I actually felt like the humor in that short trek landed better than that on a lot of the Orville shows. Ooh, interesting.
I think the Orville is definitely a specific type of humor that if you don't find funny, then it's just not funny.
Yeah, and I think on the Orville, some of the jokes land better than others. Like, I think, you know, from season one, that practical joke where, what's his name? The android cuts off the other guy's leg.
Yeah, I knew that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. Anyway, can't think of his name right now.
I can't either.
Yeah. But Scott Grimes plays the character that his leg gets...
appendages are disattached.
Yeah.
Yep. That was funny.
The answer is Isaac.
Isaac, that's right. Yes.
And Scott Grimes' character is Lieutenant Gordon Malloy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Anyway, Terry from Facebook says, I really loved that we now have an explanation for the Tribbles in Kirk's time being so prolific. Other than that, their natural predators were gone, and the babies shooting out was hilarious. Yeah, crying, rolling over, crying, laughing face. So, yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah, the babies just popping out were hilarious. And I love when she's like, actually, we've discovered that they're born pregnant.
Yep.
What? Yeah, that was hilarious. Aaron from Facebook says, yeah, I must work with that guy and hate him. I can empathize with that, yeah. Okay, Clint from Facebook says, I did like this episode because it is so different from what we know as Trek. If the new CBS Viacom wanted to expand the franchise into sitcoms, I could see this as the concept piece on how it would work.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
I could see that. And I remember back in the day, there was some talk about them doing a Starfleet sitcom, and it never really went anywhere. So I don't know if it was just like pitched as something they were going to do, but it never really went anywhere. So
a dungeoneer.
Yeah.
And finally, LT from NC says, this was one that I liked as long as I don't think about it. I laughed out loud a few times, but to use the same riff that Brian did on Q&A, I sent nitpicky LT to the kitchen to make coffee and popcorn. If you look at it seriously and put a heavy canon filter on it, there are issues. That said, if you just take it for what it is, it's funny. I agree, LT, and that's what I did.
Yeah, I like- and I didn't talk about the fact that Tribbles
don't him know- around.
Tribbles in the timeline, you know, we don't know that the fact they it would have been introduced in this timeline, but
we also know. Normal me says, well, Tribbles were actually in Enterprise. Dr. Phlox had Tribble. So.
Yeah. So the retconning started way back before this, in other words.
Yeah. But I mean, Lorca had Tribble and that Tribble didn't reproduce. So we assume that this kind of explains that.
Yeah, that's true. Or he found a way to sterilize it. Anyway, the retconning happened before this, in other words. And I smacked nitpicky Brian and sent him back to his corner. So then LT goes on. I like the captain and I felt for her character because anyone who has ever been a supervisor has that one person that reported to you that you just go over. That was the sigh effect. Props to the writers and to Mr. Benjamin for making the most awkward Starfleet officer ever. One that makes our man Barclay look like a superhero. I have to agree with that completely. And yes, anyone who's ever been a supervisor and has had to deal with this kind of person, yeah, pretty much. I laughed a lot at several of the scenes, especially that we're done here bit. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is there were a lot of plot things where I just had to shake my head and roll with it. There's the, so how early were Tribbles noticed by Starfleet?
Yeah.
How did Kirk not know about them if they were researching on them earlier? Did Phlox and Edward have different standards for reproductive speed? Even if they were born pregnant, the earlier canon said they had to eat to reproduce. So what did they eat on the Cabot? Why didn't they just EV suit up and open the hatches? That way you could have saved the ship. The final point was that lots of people have made hay over trying to transfer Edward off the ship and bring up the similar thing with Picard and Barclay. I would always say the crew of the Enterprise D is much larger than the Cabot, so one problem officer there is a much bigger issue. Agreed.
Yeah, and I don't get the whole Edward versus Barclay argument because, like I said earlier, both of them were so socially awkward, okay? To me, that's where the similarity ends, because Barclay did not have this kind of, like...
stubborn rebelliousness?
Yeah, and disregarding orders and...
yeah, complete disregard for the chain of command and the order of the rule of order, basically.
Yeah. I mean, he vented by going onto the holodeck, but I don't think he did that.
That's different.
It definitely is different, you know? So it's
like me going and reading a book to escape or whatever when I'm pissed off at something or whatever.
Yeah.
And he completely not the same.
He wasn't derelict in his orders when he did that either. Like, it wasn't like a question of, you know, where is Barclay? Oh, he's on the holodeck. What's he doing there? You know, I don't think that was the case. I mean, we may have seen that a little bit in the Nth Degree, but he was actually doing his thing. But anyway, even if that was the case, what Barclay did does not compare to what Larkin did. Larkin disobeyed direct orders, kept
in
working
on- In an ethically
on,
questionable way.
In an ethically, well, I wouldn't even say questionable way, in an ethically-
Dubious
way. A lack of ethics were present. So it's not an apple and oranges thing. It's more like a, I think that Larkin was clearly-
Well, it's like Barclay didn't know how to relate to his senior officers and the senior officer didn't know how to relate to him. And so therefore right. There was kind of a communication barrier more than anything else. And this is just completely different. I mean, you're right. They're not even in the same league. The exactly. only thing they have in common is the awkwardness.
Right.
And I would hazard to say that Edward isn't really even awkward. He's just prideful and stubborn. And that makes for an awkward person, but that's not the that's not the hallmark of a socially awkward person.
Right. Being
prideful and stubborn. A socially right. awkward person just doesn't know how to talk to people or how to relate to people. Or how to interact with people. That's not what Edward was. Edward was definitely prideful and definitely stubborn. And to Edward was the most knowledgeable and expert on everything, or at least his one thing.
Right.
And no one could tell him differently about anything because he was Edward. So that's completely different. I don't even know why this is a thing. It's dumb. That should not be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to agree with what LT says. Having one problem person, well, I don't even know that Barclay is a problem. He's just kind of an awkward situation that LaForge has to deal with because he's on LaForge's crew. And so LaForge is trying to deal with it. And he's also helping, Riker is helping LaForge, I think, because obviously Riker is in charge of personnel. Anyway, he's not really a problem officer so much as he's just I don't know how to relate to this person. So yeah, having Barclay on the Enterprise D, a much larger ship, is definitely completely different story than having this guy who thinks that he's right on the Cabot. If I had a person like that on the Cabot, I would definitely transfer him out.
Mm-hmm.
Barclay is so far below Picard's awareness, he might only know about it in passing because a couple of his officers might have been talking about how to handle Barclay. Not directly, whereas Lucero had to deal with him directly.
Picard is where Barclay would have been had he not been stabbed in the heart, because, of course, Tapestry, that's about where he is. And I think he was, a science officer or something? We see him just for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But I'm thinking more along the lines of Edward is to Lucero, like, say, what LaForge would be to Picard. If LaForge were like Edward, LaForge would have gotten transferred off.
Mm, right.
So it's not the same at all. Barclay is an ensign, right? He's
No, he was a lieutenant.
Well, okay. So he's one step over an ensign.
Yeah. I don't remember if he was lieutenant junior grade or just a full lieutenant. I'd have to go back and look. But regardless, he is not in the same boat. Anyway, why don't we continue?
Okay.
Just a little bit more.
So, carrying on, he says, in the end, it was funny and made me laugh. It also forced me not to think too much about the loopholes. I liked it, even if I have some issues and reservations as a whole. I'm betting there will be a lot of funny and lengthy comments from the listeners. Oh, and about the commercial. It was cute fan service for all of us who grew up with Saturday morning cartoons and cereal commercials.
Yeah.
Again, I'm really trying to not think about it too much since the disclaimers made me laugh until I started thinking about them too much. That was funny, though. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny. You know, the problem is if you think about comedy too much, a lot of times it falls apart. It's funny because it's funny. It's not necessarily logical.
My take on it is that the commercial wasn't actually like a thing. It should not be considered canon. And if anyone is considering that canon, I have to wonder about them. The rest of the episode, I think it does fit into canon, but not the commercial. But the commercial was hysterical.
I mean, funny.
That was definitely, to me, the funniest part of it. And I remember just going into our own thoughts about the episode that don't fit into the other things we've said. I remember when I first watched it, I was looking at the time left. I'm like, gee, this is a lot of time left on the episode, even though we're already in the credits.
Yeah. That's a lot of end credit time.
And I was curious what was going to happen. And unfortunately, though, that played as a negative for the next short trek. But I'll get into that when we cover that episode. It was like, what's going on? So I always go to the end anyway, but I was especially like curious. And then all of a sudden this commercial popped up and man, that was funny.
That's definitely funny.
Do you have any other notes for this episode?
No, I don't think so.
The one thing that I noticed was I was surprised that it's Prejean 63. That means that there's 63 plus planets in the Prejean system. Holy crap, that's a lot of planets.
Does it specifically mean planet, or could it be like celestial bodies, like moons?
I mean, it could be a moon. I don't know. But I think normally they name planets only, but I don't know. It's,
but yeah, that's a lot.
It could be something else. We don't know. But and I doubt that the planet was called Prejean 63 without there being 62 things in front of it. But I don't know. It's not explained, and I don't think that it's really that much. Although I will say that, you know, if you add one to the six and you add one to the three and you flip them around, you get a 47.
Okay, that's stretching a bit.
Yeah, I know.
And then you minus three and divide by four.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, good times.
That's it for this episode. And we do have some Twitter responses, so we'll cover that on our next episode. In terms of ship-wide announcements, we're just going to keep this light because we are going to record a second episode after this one. But the Blu-ray of Season 2 of Discovery is out for those of you that may have been waiting for it. I don't know. I do not have that. And I assume, Ruthie, you don't either.
No.
So I know that one thing that the Blu-ray has that the previous one didn't have is it does have some commentary episodes. So I think that would be cool to listen to, but I haven't purchased it, so I haven't really heard anybody specifically comment too much about it, but I do know that the one thing it has over the season one Blu-ray is it does have some commentary. So that's pretty cool.
All right.
All right. So with that, I think that we are done. So Ruthie, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All righty. If you would like to submit your feedback or theories, etc., or connect with us in general, you can do that by going to talkthroughmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. You can also call 216-232-6146. You can send us an email, and that is StarTrekDiscovery@talkthroughmedia.com, or you can post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTM podcasts. You can also tweet us at StarTrekTTM. And we have a new Amazon affiliate link. You can go to talkthroughmedia.com/Amazon, or you can use our affiliate link. I don't know if you can call it an ID, our affiliate link ID, which is talkthroughme-20. So when you're doing your Christmas shopping this year and you're going to use your Amazon anyway, please consider using our affiliate, our Amazon affiliate, so that we can get a little bit of help running this show.
A great way to support us is to share our posts on Twitter and Facebook. And one of the ways to to do that is to share the things that we post on the Talk Through Media Facebook page, and that is at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. What we're doing, you know, going forward is we will post the episode posts on Talk Through Media, and then we will share them to the Facebook group. So that way you can share the posts on the Talk Through Media, but because the Facebook group is a closed group, you can't share those. So this gives us a chance to share it out. So do that. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast clients of your choice. And while you're there, give us a rating review. And we've gotten a couple of reviews since the last time we recorded. We got a 5-star from Mitchell App from the UK. And he says, a fair, enthusiastic discussion of disco. And thank you very much. And unfortunately, we got a 1-star. So I don't really want to highlight that. Hopefully, if you give us a review, if you like us, it will help other people if you give us a 5-star. We just appreciate if you give us an honest review. But, you know, try to be fair. And you don't need to be a jerk. So,
and for more on that, you can find it on our Facebook group.
Yeah.
There was a big lively discussion about it.
Yes.
And I personally don't feel like there's anything wrong with asking for what we want, which is 5-star reviews if you feel like that's what we deserve.
Right. Another way you can help support us is through Patreon. And that URL is patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And we are going to do some Patreon content. I know we've been promising that. And LT has given us some at his rate of contribution.
His level
could give us some content suggestions. So we may do some of those as Patreon shows. We may do some as regular shows, but we are going to do some Patreon stuff. And I'm actually going to send out a message about Patreon to the members of Patreon after we record today. So, because we have a question to you. And I want to thank a couple of people that we don't have any new Patreon supporters since our last recording, but we do have a couple of people that have increased their contribution. James, the Augmented Sailor, thank you so much for upgrading your contribution to us every month. We appreciate that. And you've been a loyal listener from, I think, just about the beginning. So thank you so much. And Clint, you also upgraded your support. So thank you so much. So, and of course, we want to also thank LT, Fred from the Netherlands, and Kyle McAdams, who's, of course, my co-host on Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, and a childhood friend of Ruthie.
Yes.
So
thank you.
And part of this network, of course.
Yes.
So just to wrap it up, want to remind you guys that we have the Star Trek Picard cast as a separate podcast on the Talk Through Media Network. We released the first episode as part of the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed, but future episodes, and we're going to record some more episodes soon. I'm done now for quite a while, maybe forever, on The Walking Dead. So Ruthie, you and I, we're going to ramp stuff up on the Star Trek. And if you're willing. So,
yeah.
So you'll be getting a lot more content from us going forward. So expect some more episodes in the feed, both on the Star Trek Discovery podcast and the Star Trek Picard cast. So we'll be doing episode 2 very shortly. So look out for that. You can also, of course, hear me on The Walking Dead Talk Through. We released our last episode for the half season earlier this week. That show is on hiatus until February 23rd. And I'm going to pull back my coverage of that show and hand over things to Mark and probably Kyle, or we'll get some guest hosts, because I already know that I'm not going to be able to handle it with Star Trek going on, because I expect us to get 28 pages of feedback each episode of Picard. Or pretty close.
Don't let us down.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to get your Brian fix is going to be right here.
Yep. Yeah, at least, like, I'm not saying I'm done with the show, but I'm certainly going to pull back a lot from that show, so, because I see going forward there's going to be a lot more Star Trek content, and this is where my heart is at this point. So anyway, that's the case. But definitely stay tuned to this podcast and the Star Trek Picard cast for the foreseeable future, because we're going to have tons of stuff going forward. We will be covering in the next episode the next short trek, which we'll be recording right after this, titled Ask Not, and that's a Pike episode, so we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.